the sermon. Title is Choosing Contentment, and it's part two. And the passage, the main text for this sermon series is Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. And, you know, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And God's people said. You know, last Sunday I said contentment, you know, is the state of happiness. You're in the state of happiness. And the secret of contentment, you know, last week is to make a choice, okay? Choose to enjoy what God has already given you, okay? Choose to enjoy what God has already given you. Instead of trying to grasp for more, enjoy what you got, okay? Enjoy what you got. You know, you have to remind yourself, what am I not enjoying right now, okay? Right now. Not when I get a better job, you know, when I finally take that much needed vacation, you know. It's not going to work. I know some of you are waiting for that 2-week vacation, take that vacation to Florida or to Hawaii, and then, you know, I'm going to enjoy. No, no, no. We have to learn how to enjoy what we have right now. And that's what I'm learning, what God's convicting. Again, this is from personal conviction that I'm preaching from. And, you know, I look at pastors, seniors pastor, they don't know how to enjoy their week to week, the day to day. And then they get to the edge, they're kind of burning out. And then they say, I need a sabbatical. Why? When pastors do that, it doesn't work. Sabbatical doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've seen it again and again and again. And so what God's speaking to me right now is not don't wait till you're at the edge, you're so burnt out, you're so tired, you're weary, and you know, you're spiritually drained, you're empty, and then take a sabbatical. What God is convicting me personally as your pastor is I need to learn how to be filled day to day, week to week. You know, how to walk out the healing, not when I take a sabbatical, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And this is what things that God is speaking to me about. So not, you know, I will be content, I will be happy when I finally take that much needed vacation, when that person change, or when that person is nice to me, when there is finally a reconciliation, then I will be content. When there is this healing, then I will be happy. No, you and I need to choose to be content. We need to make that choice. And if you choose not to be happy now, you're not going to be happy later. Contentment is not found in the future. If you're not happy with what you have, or what you have living on right now, you're not going to be happy with more. You know, whether you have a lot or whether you have little, contentment does not depend on your job. You can be in charge of, like last week I said, a multi-million dollar project, or you could be taking care of one child. Contentment don't have to go up and down with the circumstances. Why? Contentment has to do with attitude. Right? See, Apostle Paul, he had that secret to contentment. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, this is what he wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he has to repeat this because this is so important. I say it again. Rejoice. You see, it's easy to focus on what you don't have. It's very easy. You know, what you can't do. what others are not doing. You know, it's easy to just get upset. You know, that's why a child, a little child, you don't have to train them to be upset. It's very easy for them to, you know, easy to get upset. It's easy to get mad. It's easy to be negative. It's easy to blame others. It's very easy to complain. It's very easy to compare yourself with someone who seems to be more blessed than you. Start, you know, thinking about that all the time. Why is that person so much more blessed? Why does that person have it so much easier? Why does that person, you know, they seem to have more spiritual gift than me? It's very easy to compare yourself with somebody else who seems to be more blessed. But it's not easy to be content. It's not. It's not easy to be content. Because what I realized, in order to be content, you have to be focused. Right? You have to be focused. You have to die to yourself. You have to do the spiritual battle. You have to make a choice, okay, to go the opposite direction of what the devil is doing in your life. Opposite direction of the negative thoughts. Opposite direction of the complaining spirit. Opposite direction of envy. You have to go the opposite direction of lies. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know, in the context of the book of Philippians, you know, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You got to understand, Paul was writing the book of Philippians in prison, okay, when he was in prison. He was stuck in the most secular city in the world. He was chained 24 hours a day to different guards. And there were people in the church that was slandering him. I don't know, like if you ever been slandered. It affects you emotionally, it affects you mentally, even affects you physically. And there are people in the church, not in the Roman city, but in the church that were slandering him. And so if I was Paul, I would feel that my life was being wasted away in prison. And if you look at Paul's life at that time while he's writing the book of Philippians, his life future doesn't look that bright. It looks pretty bleak because he had about 4 years to live from that point on. Paul would be released from prison. A few years later, he would be in prison again. And at that time, Paul would not be released. Paul would be martyred under Nero. So, if I was writing the book of Philippians in Paul's shoes, the book of Philippians should be filled with complaints, anger, negativity, blame. Paul should be writing how uncomfortable he is in prison, how unjust is his situation, how bad is the prison food, you know. Paul should be lashing out at some of the people that is trying to undermine him in the church. But, you know, the whole book of Philippians should be just venting and ranting how hopeless was the situation. And he should be writing, why? Okay, why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this? He should be writing, I give up. That's what he should be writing in the book of Philippians. You should give up too. It's hopeless. He should be writing, the gospel has lost its power. Rome, the city of Rome, is lost. But he doesn't do that if you study the book of Philippians. Paul instead writes, I thank my God every time I remember you. I always pray with joy. The good work that God is doing right now in you, God's going to complete it. Believe this with me. God's going to complete the good work that he is doing in you. And he writes how he's so filled with so much love that, you know, he also writes, this chain is not going to stop me. People are getting to know the Lord. I don't care about those who's criticizing me or hurting me. I will continue and continue and continue to rejoice. And at the end, you know what he writes? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Apostle Paul found the secret of contentment in dark times, in prison, where he was limited, he was oppressed, he was slandered, and he just had few years to live. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say this again, rejoice. See, Paul's practicing Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the field produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stall, yet, I'm going to make this choice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. In the last few years, there's been a great shaking in our life. You know, the pandemic is still with us, and there seem to be continual new variants that's popping up. We went through isolation, economic shaking. There's mass shootings. There's division in the nation, you know, division in many churches, division in family due to politics, different ideology, abortion, racism, gender issue. And over the last few years, the shaking was unprecedented. It's worldwide. It has hit every area of our life. The events of the last few years has changed the way we live, changed the way we work, changed the way we worship, changed the way we relate to one another. And I believe the full impact of what has happened the last few years, we won't know. The full impact we won't know for years to come. We won't know for years to come. And last week, I said, choose to be content with what you have. That was point number one. Point number two, choose to be content in your work. And point number three for today, choose to be content in dark times. Choose to be content in dark time. In dark times, Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Apostle Paul in dark times says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. How are we going to choose to be content in dark time? Choose to be content by choosing Jesus as your object of joy. Okay? In other words, in dark times, choose Jesus as your object of joy. Of worship in dark times. Choose Jesus as your object of worship. You know, the church that I grew up in, as a child, joy and worship did not go hand in hand. The church that I grew up in, it did not go hand in hand. It didn't. The worship in the church that I grew up with was very boring. It was legalistic. It was based on performance, and it was very human-focused, the church that I grew up with, when you think about worship. And, you know, and because of that, you know, as a child, when I went to that church, I always snuck out. I always snuck out of the church during the worship. And in this church, if there was some joy in worship, you know what they would say? Something is wrong. That's not worship. That's not worship. In this church, Christian life focused on, you know, all they talked about was suffering. Okay? Christian life is gritting our teeth and just bearing it. That's what Christian life is. It was about the pain of running the Christian race. And they said the goal was to just barely make it to the finish line. Okay? That's how they view Christian life. It's about even if you have to crawl, you know, just make it, barely make it to the finish line. Because, you know, joy and worship did not go together in my childhood church. They saw God as very demanding, angry. He was very difficult and harsh. That's how they saw God. Okay? And they saw evil everywhere. You know, they said guitar is evil. Drums are evil. Okay? Only organs and piano were sanctified by God. That's what they said. In this church, there was a lot of gossip, a lot of slander, you know, in the church towards one another. And the main focus of this church was sin. All have sinned. You are a sinner. Right? And this church forgot what Christ has done for them. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, there's no condemnation. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Christian race, see, the Bible doesn't say it's about barely making it to the finish line. The Bible says in Christian race, run to win. Not just barely finish. Run to win. Run the race. In 1 Corinthians 9 says, run the race to get the prize. A crown that will last forever. See, back then, those athletes, like the Olympics, they ran, they prepared for this race to win this crown of leaf that will not last. But what Paul says, our Christian life is a race to win a crown that will last forever. Apostle Paul didn't wait till he got out of prison to be content, to be joyful, to worship Jesus. He didn't wait for people to change. He didn't wait for the circumstance to change. Paul worshiped. He chose to make Jesus the object of his joy. Paul says, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to worship. And I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to be joyful. I will continue to worship. See, what I notice about when you enjoy something, you're able to persevere. Okay, say that to your neighbor. You are able to persevere. You know, like I haven't done this in a long time, but I enjoy riding motorcycle. Right? I enjoy it. And I remember, I went to Nepal. I got into a motorcycle accident. I should have been killed, you know. And my partner should have been killed too, but God protected us. But when I came home, you know, Hee Jong said, no more motorcycle. No more motorcycle. But I enjoy riding motorcycle. So I was praying, God, please, please, you know, let me have that joy. And then I forgot how much later, this guy was moving from the church to Ohio. He had a motorcycle helmet, and he gives me a motorcycle helmet, right? And then, I don't know, a few months later, this couple buys me a motorcycle jacket, and I don't have a motorcycle. Right? And then, you know, what happened was, I found out later, some people in the church, in my old church, got together to raise love offering for me, specifically to buy a motorcycle. You know, because I enjoyed it, I persevered. And because I persevered, Hee Jong was praying. I remember one day, you know, in our closet, you know, and she's coming down with some tears. She comes down and says, Sam, God wants you to have a motorcycle. Ask Hee Jong, right? That's true. Yeah. And you know, some of you enjoy gardening. I don't know why, But some of you really enjoy gardening. And if you enjoy gardening, you know how to persevere. Huh? Through bad weather, you know, through changing season, through deers coming in and eating, if you enjoy gardening, you work hard turning the soil, raking the leaves, making sure the soil is healthy. You fight with the weeds, yeah, and the pest that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you enjoy gardening, you're able to do this because you enjoy it. You know how to persevere. As a Christian, there's a requirement that we enjoy. We make Christ the object of our joy. We make Christ the object of our joy. And then we will be able to persevere through dark times, through the different storms, through difficult circumstances, through demonic attacks that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? Say to your neighbor, I'm not going to give up. Okay? I'm not going to give up. But it's not just, I'm going to bear it. No. First, I'm going to enjoy the Lord. You're going to rejoice in the Lord. Right? And that joy will give you the power to persevere. Right? In dark time, when Jesus is the object of our joy, God's going to reveal himself to you. See, when you have everything, you want, guess what? You don't need God. You don't need God. When you are comfortable, you don't need God. When you are healthy, you don't pray. You don't seek God. You don't need God. It is time such as this. The church needs to rise up. We need God in our heart, in our home, in our nation, in the world. And I'm calling Catalyst to be different. Before, maybe in dark times, this is the flesh. This is the natural way to go through the flesh. We get depressed. We blame. We rebel. We get drunk. We close our heart. But in dark time, this is a call to the church. This is a call to the church. We're going to be different. Okay, say to your neighbor, I'm going to be different. Okay? We're going to worship. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. We're going to make Jesus the object of our joy. Okay? In dark time, we can turn to evil desire or we can turn to God. Okay? In James chapter 1, it says this, when we face trials of many kind. Okay? Be content, be joyful, it says. We could choose that. But in James 1, it also you could turn to evil, which leads to death. If we turn to God in dark time, it first says it would develop perseverance. Okay? But thank God, it doesn't. Can you imagine if it's just, I'm not gonna give up. I'm just gonna persevere. You know what it says? You will mature spiritually. Your faith is going to grow. And at the end it says, you will not lack anything. There will be a breakthrough in your life. Okay? There will be breakthrough in your life. And so in dark time, the devil will come to make you focus on things that will hurt you, steal from you. They will keep you in bondage. God wants to do something new in you and me. The enemy comes in dark times to offer you things that will keep you in bondage. The Lord comes in and offers you comfort, healing, freedom, and new life. The devil uses your failure to condemn shame and guilt. In dark times, God turns your failure into forgiveness, cleansing, redemption, and renewal. The devil uses hurt people to hurt more people in dark times. But God, in dark time, can use hurt people to heal you, and he will use you to set the captive free, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring revival to this area. The very thing that you hate the most, think about it right now, because in dark time, the very things that you hate the most will come to the surface, will come to the surface. God wants to come in. He wants to touch. He wants to redeem. He wants to renew. And he wants to anoint you. See, anyone can bring good out of good. But in dark time, God can use the bad to bring good. Okay? But we can't do this alone. We live in a broken world. You know, life is a struggle. It is a battle. Life sometimes don't make any sense. But remember this in dark time. We need one another here. We need each other. You know, God's plan is to build a church, build a community, spiritual family that will be there for one another during dark times. When under great darkness, right, the devil wants to divide. This is the spiritual warfare we're going through right now. The devil wants to divide, hinder, and stop you. Okay? We need one another to support each other, strengthen one another, encourage, comfort, and edify one another. And this is my challenge to Catalyst. Let's be that church in this dark time that will help, that will strengthen, that will support one another. We need that community more than ever. We need that community more than ever. It is in dark time we have to become that community. You know, when things are going good, it is in dark time we have to become that community. Let's be that community. A church that doesn't fight with one another, but fight for one another. You know, it is very easy to be that wrong community. It is easy today to be very fearful, discouraging, complaining, criticizing, and judging. Catalyst, let's do the hard work and be that right community. Let's change our destiny together. And God's people said,